Chapter 7, Section 3, Uncertainty is the Key. I started to think in terms of multiple diffusion curves. Let us take an activity, we shall call it A. It could be television or the telephone, it doesn't matter. Now let us assume this activity will evolve through several versions A1, A2, A3, A4 and A5. Each version might be disruptive or sustaining to the previous, and each will diffuse on its own diffusion curve. See Figure 74. See Figure 74, Evolution through multiple waves of diffusion. For more details. Whilst each version of the Act diffuses to 100% adoption of its market, those applicable markets could be different sizes for different versions. Hence the market for the first phones might not be the same market for later, more evolved phones. The time for diffusion of each version could also be different. I had been assuming that by looking at adoption in a population, then we could determine how evolved something was because of how ubiquitous it had become. This idea had come from concepts that commodity was commonplace. But what if the applicable markets were fundamentally different? Maybe ubiquity for gold bars meant 2% of the total population owning them, whereas ubiquity of smartphone meant everyone owns 3 of them. I couldn't just measure adoption because there could be a bigger market just around the corner. What I needed to do was measure was adoption in its ubiquitous market. But was it that? How do I calculate it? By pure serendipity, it was just at this time that I stumbled upon the Stacey matrix. This is a mechanism for classifying types of agreements between groups. At one extreme, you had groups that were far from agreement with high levels of uncertainty. This was the domain of chaos and anarchy. At the other extreme, you had groups that were close to agreement with high degrees of certainty, the domain of simple. What struck me with the Stacey matrix, see Figure 75, was the polar opposite nature of the domains and how the language was not dissimilar to the apparent process of evolution. See Figure 75, Brenda Zimmerman's simplified version of the Stacey matrix. For more details. With evolution, we had the more chaotic world of the novel and new with high degrees of uncertainty at one extreme, whilst at the other were more well understood activities. The matrix mimicked the same sort of conversations that I was having, where people could agree that a commodity was a commodity but disagreed vehemently on what stage of evolution a less evolved component was in. It occurred to me that maybe these sorts of discussion and arguments would be occurring in journals, and that somehow I might be able to use this to get an idea on how evolved something was. To be honest, I was just guessing by this point and was hoping to find some book where the answer would be magically written. I headed back to the library. I spent many months reading and trying to determine a measure for the certainty for an act. I was collecting all sorts of journals and categorizing them when suddenly I noticed something odd. To be a bit more specific, I suddenly woke up one morning with this idea. It was by looking into the detail of journals and papers on various activities that I had noticed how the words they used had started to change. They always started talking about the wonder of some new thing, such as the wonder of television, but over time it became more about use. I then took 9,221 articles related to various activities and categorized those articles into 4 main stages based upon the words they used. I then plotted the frequency of publications. See Figure 76. See Figure 76, Changing Nature of Publications. For more details. To begin with, articles would discuss the wonder of the thing, for example, the wonder of radio. This would then be replaced with articles discussing building, construction and awareness, for example, how to build your own radio. These would then be replaced by articles discussing operation, maintenance and feature differentiation, for example, which radio is best. Finally, it would become dominated by use, for example, the radio times and what programs to listen to. Using stage 2 and 3 publications, I developed a certainty scale. I felt I was getting close to something, but I still couldn't quite describe how evolution worked or why. I'm not sure what possessed me to do this. It was another one of those sleepless nights, but I started to question if I could connect certainty to the applicable market and somehow work out the ubiquitous market. Obviously, I could only do that for things which had already become a commodity. So, for various activities, I marked a point of stability, I described this as 100% certain, the moment when publications changed from being dominated by operations, maintenance and feature differentiation to being dominated by use. See Figure 77. See Figure 77, the point of stability. For more details. Then I would take the time that this occurred, T1, and look up the applicable market for that activity at that time. I defined that applicable markets as the point of ubiquity, i.e. 100% ubiquitous, see Figure 78. I did this for radios, for TVs and all sorts of other common appliances. See Figure 78, the point of ubiquity. For more details. All of these markets were different sizes and different percentages of adoption, and there was no obvious connection. At first I was disappointed, but then I was just stumbling in the dark and didn't know what I was looking for. By pure chance, whilst experimenting around with this, I took a wild stab and decided to plot ubiquity versus certainty for a range of activities. I had defined a point as 100% certain on my certainty scale, and I had a corresponding point of ubiquity. I could now trace back through history to determine how certain and ubiquitous an act was. This is what I did for a range of activities and finally plotted a graph of ubiquity versus certainty. The result is provided in Figure 79. See Figure 79, ubiquity versus certainty. For more details. I spent several hours staring at the result trying to understand what it meant. It suddenly dawned on me that every activity seemed to be following the same path. There was a strong correlation here. I then went back and overlaid those different stages of publication onto the graph and extended both ends as activities emerge before people start writing about them and continue well after becoming a commodity. I also gave each stage a generic term, for example product for stage 3 and commodity for stage 4. The result was the evolution curve in Figure 80 that I published in various guises, for example Butler Group Review, March 2008, Why Nothing is Simple in Management, and spoke enthusiastically about at numerous conferences. See Figure 80, the evolution curve. For more details. Evolution begins with the genesis of an activity, for example the first battery, the first phone, the first television or the first digital computer such as the Z3 in 1943. If it is successful, then it will diffuse in its applicable market. If it is useful, then others will copy and custom-built examples of that activity will appear, for example systems such as Leo Lyon's Electronic Office. They will also diffuse in what tends to be a larger applicable market. As the activity spreads through custom-built systems, then pressure mounts for adoption and products are produced. These products themselves diffuse through an even wider market, often with constant improvements or disruptive changes with each diffusing in turn and growing the market. As the act becomes more widespread and well understood, alternative models of provision appear such as rental services. Eventually the act becomes so widespread and well defined it becomes ubiquitous, well understood and more of a commodity. It will tend to be standardized with little feature differentiation between offerings. At this stage of volume operations, then utility services are likely to have appeared, especially if the act is suitable for delivery by such a mechanism. There is no time or adoption axis on the evolution curve, only ubiquity, to its ubiquitous market, versus certainty. It may take 10 years or 100 for something to make its journey from genesis to commodity. It may become a commodity when 2% of the population own it or everyone has 3. However, regardless of this, I know the path it will take. What causes things to take that journey turns out to be simple competition represented in two forms. Demand competition and the consumer desire for anything which is useful or makes a difference or creates an advantage is the driver for ubiquity, i.e. anything useful spreads. Supply competition and the desire of providers to supply an activity to consumers is the driver for feature completeness and improvement of an activity. For example, an average car today includes as standard numerous things that were once novel feature differentiations such as electric windows, airbags, and alarm systems, a stereo, seat belts, roll bars and windscreen wipers. It's the desire to differentiate and to make things better combined with competition and copying that drives things to become more uniform, more complete and more certain. It is important not to confuse evolution with diffusion, though both patterns have an S-curve shape. The pattern of diffusion is one of adoption of a specific change over time, whether that change is something novel or a feature differentiation or a particular business model. The first telephone diffused, a better method of producing glass known as the Pilkington float glass method diffused, new and improved washing powder diffuses and a utility model for provision of electricity diffused. The pattern of evolution deals with the changing nature of something. It does not concern itself with adoption of a specific change, i.e. a better computer, but instead it shows how that activity itself has evolved from custom-built to more of a product. Diffusion and evolution are of course connected. The evolution of an act can consist of thousands of diffusion curves of improving versions of that act, each with their own chasms. As an activity evolves, each more evolved version will diffuse from early adopters to laggards through its own applicable market. That market can and does grow as the act becomes more accessible to a larger audience. For example, with the first computing products you had early adopters and laggards within a relatively small market. As the products improved through constant incremental changes, the applicable market grew significantly and later versions diffused through a much broader public market. Today, computing infrastructure is ubiquitous, which is why we have utility services like Amazon EC2.